This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was just working on my picks. We moved them up on the schedule. Feeling a little bit of pressure. I've got them down to 8 games.
Eight. And then this can wait till the actual pick segment. We've got Sal waiting, but I not that it matters. I don't think there's ever a correlation to, like, I love the picks. These games are easy this week for me. Or, man, I can't find...
I don't think there is either.
I really struggled this week to find games that I liked.
Oh.
Nothing jumped out at me. Yeah, there's definitely not a correlation. I shouldn't say I don't think there. There definitely isn't. But some weeks it just feels like, oh, yeah, that's cake.
I don't think there is either. I've never tracked it. I wonder, though, do the weeks... I would like Sal's opinion on this, too, because Sal does... his underdog picks and such. Do you think, Sal, like it would bear out the more confident you are in picks, the better you do or not?
I actually do a pick'em pool where you have to assign numbers to how confident you are in each game.
Yes.
So if there's 16 games, the one you're most confident in, you put 16. The one you're least confident, you put 1. And so on. And I find there's really no correlation other than, you know, you picking the game and
right.
You know, figuring out, all right, I really like that team. I mean, but I don't know about confidence except other than literally putting a confidence point on it.
Yeah, right. Like I decided years ago that I don't know enough about
right.
the future to feel like my confidence is a good sign for a game.
All I'm really doing is admitting that I had to really grind through the picks this week. It was arduous.
No.
But what I always do, though, is whatever the, you know, there's 16 games that week, whatever 16 is, that's basically my survivor team as well.
Right.
I'm most confident.
Right.
I'm going to take that team.
Right.
How are you with this game then, Bills Jets? How many points would it get?
Oh, it's a good question. I have to go see what I did with this. I would, it's probably somewhere between 11 and 16. It might even been 15, actually. But it was before Ed Oliver. But, you know, I don't think it moves the needle so much. But, you know, I'd have the Bills really high on it, but at the same time, I could be talked into moving them down a little bit. I still think the Bills are the better team. They have the better roster. They certainly have the better quarterback. You know, they should still win this game. I think the path to victory for the Jets would be for the Bills to turn the ball over, number one, which they've gotten Josh Allen to do. We had Rich Cimini on our podcast today, Matt Bove and I, to preview the game, and he gave a really good stat. I didn't realize. He said Josh Allen, I think it's 18 turnovers against the Jets. That's more than any player has against any opponent since 2020. So I thought that was really interesting. But that's the path to victory. I think, you know, a couple turnovers to keep the Jets in it. And otherwise, I don't see the Jets being able to beat the Bills.
You know, we talked to Dan Lubberfeld earlier this week, long time on the Jets beat. And, you know, in as part of that conversation, I'm looking at their depth chart. And, you know, there's changes just like, you know, every team year to year. But still a lot of familiar names. But one big change to me is that corner opposite Sauce Gardner. DJ Reed is gone. They've still got their nickel corner. And really, I think people would say when Reed was there with Gardner and Carter as the nickel, that was one of the best trios of corners in the league. And That's not the case with Brandon Stevens anymore. Like, I wonder game plan wise, you know, as we're just getting into week two of the season here, Sal, whether the Bills will feel like they can do business in the air in a way against the Jets that maybe they've been a little more reluctant to when they had all three of those cats back there.
Yeah, I like that. And Stevens came over from the Ravens, right? He was the guy there last year who was considered kind of their quote-unquote weak link by a lot of people, right, on the Ravens. And, you know, that might be an area where that is the case. That being said, Sean McDermott today on my radio, on the radio with me when he's on the Exploit Show, he said something interesting that I kind of took note of, which is when I asked him about the Jets defense, he said, yeah, it's important we are multidimensional. And I think that's just interesting considering that this is a team, the Bills, we know that they want to be a team that can run the ball really well. And, you know, last week, it's not that they ran the ball all the time, but they wanted to be, hey, play the game a little bit tight, close to the vest, make sure you don't make mistakes, let them make mistakes. I do wonder if this is a game that lends itself to more of what you're saying, Bulldog. Hearing that, knowing what you just said, which I agree with, and saying, you know what, maybe this is a game where we're going to let Josh Allen cook a little bit here and see what we got.
The Bills did not turn the ball over in their win at the Jets last year, which goes along with what kind of season they had, where the fact they were not able to, they were not a team that turned the ball over hardly at all. It was a theme of last season. You go back three games ago there, that's a loss where Allen, the famous play to Gabe Davis at the end, and Davis doesn't catch the ball, and Allen seems to get hurt there, but plays through it. It's the Vikings, I think, the next week, where he thought maybe he wouldn't play. But there were two interceptions, and Allen also fumbled twice in that game, but didn't lose either one. So the games in New York, they've had that, and they've also had, and maybe this isn't much something we've talked about really much, Sal, but Garrett Wilson, I mean, touchdowns and some big games. Last year the Jets had the Hail Mary to Lazard, I think it was, at halftime. But Wilson can be a problem, and I think one thing that week one showed for them is that Justin Fields might be capable of feeding him.
No doubt. He had 9 targets. The next closest receiver had 3, and I believe he's out. That's Josh Reynolds. Well, or at least, I don't know if he's declared out. I didn't see their injury report officially, but he didn't practice yesterday. If you guys have seen it, you can tell me. But anyway, if Josh Reynolds isn't playing, I mean, they're looking at, you know, what are they looking at their receiving core? And again, according to Samini, when I had him on today talking on the podcast, he really kind of made it like, hey, this is all they have, Garrett Wilson. Like, after that, if you can limit Garrett Wilson, you got a great job of shutting down the receiving game because they don't really have anything. And it just sounded pretty ominous from that standpoint. But the point is what you said, Mike, which is right. He's really good, and he's beating the Bills. Remember he had that catch over Trey White in that Monday night game a couple of years ago? We know that. I'm just really interested in if the Bills are going to have Christian Benford follow him. If Tre'Davious White is playing, which at this point I suspect he would, I don't think they would. Like, it's just my hunch because they trust Trey. They know that Trey can, you know, handle any situation, any receiver, whatever. So they don't need to do that, right? If it's Dorian Strong, I would think they might do that with Garrett Wilson and Christian Benford. Maybe not. It's also to the level of maybe Christian Benford's just to that level where they do that. They certainly, either way, I think would shade coverage, give a little help to say, okay, let's just make sure this guy doesn't beat us because we know that that's kind of all they have. And you're right, Justin Fields is going to look for him. He's a really, really good receiver. We know that.
Yeah. Beyond Josh Reynolds, Sal, I mean, be careful what you wish for here. I don't want one of these guys to end up haunting us and the Bills on Sunday, but Lazard is still there. I thought that was illegal. Rodgers is gone. I don't know what he's still doing there. Why he's not in Pittsburgh is a mystery to me. But if no Reynolds is there, it's Arian Smith. The slot receiver is Tyler Johnson, who came over from the Rams, and then it's Isaiah Williams. These are not names that I'm, not being the fantasy player Mike is, familiar with.
I don't
really
know the last one. I don't know the last. I know the other two. I don't know the last one. You know, put Mason Taylor in that bucket, too.
The tight end. Yeah.
He only had maybe one target. It was one catch last week, the rookie, Jason Taylor's son. But I kind of like him. I liked him coming into the league. So there's another guy for Bulldogs list, Sal.
Yeah, the slot guy you mentioned there,
Johnson.
What's his name? Thank you. He's been around the league a little bit, you know, and it's not anything special. But you're right. You never know. You could, all of a sudden you just pop off for a big game. You have a big play, and you know, things can kind of change there. They'll throw a little bit to their running backs, obviously. And Breland Allen's a nice player. I like him. He's a young guy. He's fast. He's powerful. He can do a lot there. So you know, that's a guy that you have to watch out for. I just think that the Jets are going to want to run the ball here. They're going to want to run the ball. And if they don't, it's malpractice on their part. I mean, why wouldn't they, right? You see what happened with the Bills last week against the Ravens. You see that Ed Oliver's out. You know you have Breece Hall. They did a good job running the ball last week. They have Justin Fields who can run it. I mean, if I'm the Jets, I'm thinking we're gonna try and run this ball, and we're going to make this a short game and trying to limit Josh Allen's opportunities and try to win that way.
Yeah, I think I would even lean on Fields on rollouts and boots and giving him the choice, right? Like, if he – the part of the book on him, and I know he had a nice week last week throwing the ball, but if he doesn't process well, you know, that's the overarching concern so far in his career, make it easy on him and, you know, get him out of the pocket, roll him out, and if there's nothing there, let him see what he can do on the ground. Like, it's maybe overly simplistic, but considering the trouble the Bills had stopping the run, that's how I would start anyway if I were the Jets. I would see if they can stop that and then make some of the pass plays look like run plays too, you know, that kind of stuff, and just really test whether the Bills can be disciplined, because they had some trouble with that, you know, on Sunday against Baltimore too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I thought it was a bit of an issue on the edge. You know, it's a double-edged sword, though, right? It's tough to criticize, but it's true. Like, you have to be able to watch for Lamar Jackson to pull the ball out and go, and you have to be able to kind of stop that, you know, and limit that. But at the same time, I mean, when you're Joey Bosa or A.J. Epinesa, I talked to A.J. Epinesa about this. Like, look, your whole life you're taught to just go to the quarterback, right? And, I mean, go to the running back or go to the ball carrier, I guess, when you're in defensive end. Yes, you know, that's what you're doing. Now, all of a sudden, you play a team like that, you got to kind of stay home a little bit. So you can try and do that, but now all of a sudden you're giving him a little extra time in the pocket. So it's a real double-edged sword. It's what people have to kind of, you know, figure out when you're a defensive coordinator. I didn't think the Bills did a great job on the edge of maintaining and keeping contain on Lamar Jackson, and I'm quite sure that the New York Jets took note of that with Justin Fields, and I would definitely expect Justin Fields to have a few of those runs, especially when they get in the red zone. That's when they like to do that with him.
I have never seen the Bills face Justin Fields. He's been in the league 5 years. He did face them once, but I was without power.
That
it was the blizzard.
The Christmas time game, right?
The blizzard Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and we went 40 hours, and I just had to find out what happened in that game. I never went back and watched it. Is that bad? The Bills beat Chicago on that. It was cold there, too, right, Sal?
It's coldest game. It's really the coldest game I've ever been on sidelines for in Chicago that day.
Yeah. 15 for 23 for what it's worth. I saw a stat from Ray Summerlin that Fields ranked first in the league last year in off-target passes, but against Pittsburgh, he didn't miss any. Wasn't 10 yards, 10 air yards or more. He was perfect.
He was really good, and it's so funny because, I mean, you know, if you pay attention to the reports around the league and camp and preseason, it was like, you know, he's had some good days, I don't know how well this is going to work. And then all of a sudden, he just comes out smoking against the Steelers and does a nice job.
Right. So Ed Oliver being out, I mean, we haven't really talked specifically so much about that. We did yesterday when it turned out he was in a boot and the ping pong table and the whole thing. So now it sounds, you talked to Sean McDermott. Adam Schefter said multi-week. It's Thursday night next week for the Bills. What else is there to say about Oliver, you know, his absence here, at least for this game? And, you know, what are the Bills losing with him out?
Yeah, and for Schefter to say multi-week, I would assume that's probably because it is a Thursday night game. You can kind of almost pencil that in right now, and for whatever he's hearing, hey, you know, what are they? It's tough. It's Sunday, and then it's a quick, you know, 4-day turnaround here, so it doesn't surprise me. And maybe they played next Sunday, you wouldn't get that verbiage, but since they play next Thursday, it wouldn't surprise me if he does miss multiple games, which is multiple weeks, and then he's got 10 days to after that to get ready for New England. That being said, it's a massive, massive loss for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, he was, outside of Josh Allen, he was the best player on the field for the Bills on last Sunday night. And, you know, well, listening to Brandon Bean talk about him in the preseason and say that, like, he's had the best camp that he's had in his career, and then him to go out on Sunday, you're like, oh, my God, like, maybe he's in for a really great year.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you lose him. And it's already on top of – it's so weird to say that, how great he played with the numbers that the Ravens put up, but – you know, he still did. And you think about this team they're playing, and you think about the rookies that they have that are going to have to play instead, and T.J. Sanders especially, I think, in his spot, and Deion Walker. And, of course, it's a massive blow, and it's a situation where you hope they can hold the fort down. But at the same time, they'll have a plan for it. You know, it happened on Wednesday. Thursday was the first day he didn't practice, so I'm guessing the Bills will at least be prepared to have somebody there. And I think Zion Logue is very a guy that you could probably see there. Could be Jordan Phillips as well. So, you know, the Bills will at least have – they'll be prepared for that personnel-wise.
Sal, did it come up during the week when either Bobby Babbitt spoke or any of the times that McDermott addressed the media how they handled the two rookie defensive tackles? I saw, like, after some point in the third quarter, they didn't play, I don't think, in the fourth quarter. They were on the field for some big plays against – I mean, there were big plays all over the place, but Sanders is on the field for four of the touchdowns Baltimore scored. Walker and Sanders are together on the field for two of them. And I wonder if they were – if Babbage maybe specifically was asked, did you need to get them out of there, or was it more of a game script, we're trying to come back, so we're going to lean on our main pair of Oliver and Daquan Jones, because they were both up near 70% snap, and that it's not a ton higher than normal, but I feel like it's closer to 60-40 at most, usually, like between, you know, Jones and Oliver, and then versus whoever is rotating in all these years past.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They leaned more on Oliver and Jones, and that makes me feel a little more daunted about not having Oliver in this game.
He wasn't asked, so I don't have an answer on that front, but I would tell you that I don't think the Ravens ran a ton of plays in the fourth quarter, and that could, you know, that
right.
That plays into it, right? So, you know, you have these guys, and, you know, you're putting them on the field, and if they go three and out like they did or whatever, they had three plays there, and obviously they're trying to get the ball back. They needed a big play, so they kept them in there. I thought it was interesting. When I asked Sean McDermott today, like, what did you think about the way they played? He mentioned the effort was there, which is really interesting, right? I mean, that's a way to put it. Like, mm-hmm. He didn't say, like, hey, I thought they were really good. And he said the effort was there. And when you say something like that, maybe you're leaning towards, yeah, but he said, you know, the execution and whatever he said, he wasn't criticizing them, but he also didn't go out of his way to praise them. So,
right.
You know, talking about the effort being there was really interesting when it came to that. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think as the season goes on, you're probably looking at those guys playing a little bit more. I know he was asked, Bobby Babbage, about Joey Bosa, and because Joey Bosa played 69% of the snaps, and he said that's probably a little bit more than what we want. So if I can extrapolate that out, and I think those guys all probably played a little bit more than what they yeah. kind of want for the season in a game.
You know, it's weird. I, at one point early in the week, I felt a little, I don't know exactly apologize, but I felt a little silly, you know, pointing out Oliver played so great. I liked Bosa in this game too. I know he made a couple of mistakes, but I thought he was disruptive enough in a couple of spots there that I was encouraged that, you know, maybe that's a guy that can really give them some juice in some spots.
I agree with you. If Joey Bosa... Yeah, I thought, again, I said a couple times, and I just said it here, that, you know, he, as you said, made mistakes. I thought against the option, you know, that's a tough spot to put him in. That's the only time I really thought that maybe I noticed him in a negative way. But otherwise, he did a nice job. And even against the run, I thought that he squeezed mm-hmm. it out. I thought the interior was more the issue against the run. That's outside at yeah. Oliver mostly.
Yeah.
it wasn't on the edges really, right? It was really getting blocked up front, and then it was the second level, and it was the third level. But he also, he had a chance at that sack that Lamar got out of. Remember that
when
Lamar had that amazing run? He had a chance at that as well. So I thought he played pretty well, and obviously the biggest thing for him is just staying healthy, and so far so good on that front.
Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, they can run backwards 20 yards, and you still feel like they got it. One way or another, they probably got this.
They still got the potential to make you look silly, which Jackson did do on that play. To me, there's no shame in that for Bosa. Like that, you know, that is going to happen. I'm more encouraged that he was in a position to create that play. And against maybe like, Fields isn't even the athlete that Jackson is. Like I think, like you know, most quarterbacks, if he gets a guy back there like that, he's going to probably make the play on.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's just, you know, what are you going to do? That's a generational type of talent in that situation to be able to escape out of that. And then to escape out of it, and then, of course, there's going to be a lane up there, but obviously it's Lamar Jackson, so he makes even more of it than even most guys would if they did get out of it.
Sal, before you go, belated congratulations on your awards the other night from the Buffalo Broadcasters Association. Good for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And congratulations to you guys as well, because WGR was named Radio Station of the Year by the Buffalo Broadcasters Association, and it takes everybody on board to really be recognized like that. So super proud of everybody at the station, and thank you very much. And to be a finalist with some of my best friends for basically the Sports Broadcaster of the Year, Josh Reed, John Scott, Matt Bove, Dom Tibbetts of Channel 7, is an honor just to be mentioned with them, but to actually receive the award and to win it is pretty incredible, and I'm blown away. So thank you.
All right. Enjoy New York.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
How do I sort of elbow in on that best use of social media? The ADP chasing, there's no Buffalo element, really. No. We talk about the Bills sometimes. We talk about all the teams.
Yeah.
I mean, the song, Slurpin' the Dipperino, there's some stuff. Really, it was a fabulous year, I thought, for ADP chasing. Not recognized.
What is this slurping what?
Slurpin' the Dipperino, that's a Davis Maddock line. When a guy is falling in drafts, you're going to slurp that up. Slurp up the Dipperino on whoever.
Wow.
James Cook, so when he's
much,
holding out.
So much lingo.
Holding in.
All this lingo from
that
you.
That might be the
from
problem.
You, from you ball knowers.
That might be the problem. Too much lingo. Too much jargon. You couldn't even really follow it.
The fact that it's not Buffalo-centric, I think, is your at inception, that's problematic. I think in order to be recognized for social media, you have to be brave enough to actually use it.
Right.
And be out there. And I just, I don't even want to open any of my apps anymore. I don't want to go there.
I'm asking myself.
I'm looking at it for news, but I don't.
I'm asking myself all the questions. You know, at Buffalo Broadcasters, so maybe so can one of the other broadcasters association at least nominate us?
Let me get on the horn with Sloan. See if the Sloan Broadcasters Association.
I need to start a Broadcasters Association and then nominate
myself. The Fillmore
myself.
Bailey. That's too close to Sloan. I don't know.
Topeka? What did we do wrong, huh? These are well-meaning guys, smart guys.
Just some good Topeka people.
We didn't even really. Maybe we did, and I just don't know. We are going to have picks next. Moving things up a little bit. The Sabres Prospect Challenge. Well, they take their first turn in the Prospects Challenge tonight against New Jersey. Paul Hamilton, a part of our broadcast coverage, starting at 6:30. Maybe you'll be down there yourself at Harbor Center. Fun weekend. The Devils, Bruins, and Penguins prospects, as well as the Sabres, all competing through Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, it is Football Friday here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.